Hey, good morning. It's a Sunday. We're usually not here on Sunday, but you got to come in whenever Arkansas goes to the Sweet 16. They beat High Point 94-88 last night. The Razorbacks moving on to San Jose. They're going to play either Arizona or Utah State on Thursday in the Sweet 16 in California. We'll know who their opponent's going to be a little bit later this afternoon. Of course, Arizona, the number one seed in the West region. Utah State, the number nine seed. They beat Villanova in a really entertaining first-round game a couple of days ago. I want to tell you, our show brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with six times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit eglinsbest.com for more information. We're also brought to you by Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for skilled craftsmanship, choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan Westerman burning the candle at both ends up in the Pacific Northwest. He joins us from Portland. He was at the game last night. Ethan, was it as entertaining in person as it made great TV on TBS?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that game was phenomenal. It was the second time in a row I'd seen High Point play a game that, honestly, while I'm watching it, I'm just thinking, this is great TV, because I was sitting, right in front of their fans for their win against Wisconsin, and that was another up and down. They had to come back from, I think, down eight late in that one. Mm-hmm. And they're the type of team that I think that's what made it so entertaining, is you knew with their style, they can turn an eight-point deficit into nothing in a real hurry. So I think even last night after Arkansas got, I think it was maybe like 81-74 lead, you knew that thing wasn't over yet. But it was just an entertaining game. It was a up-and-down track meet that we kind of expected. It was a bunch of players making plays, to be honest. That's a good High Point team. I mean, it was that team definitely deserved to make it as far as they did. I mean, they're really, really good.
Yeah, they had a lot of fans there. I mean, for a little school in North Carolina to have that many people out in Portland was pretty amazing, honestly. And I see where, you know, they're taking charter planes out with students there. I guess you can do that when your average tuition's like $71,000 a year, right? I mean, it's a very affluent school. But boy, they made a great, great environment. And, you know, we've both been in these arenas in the NCAA tournament where when you've got the underdog that has the favorite on the ropes, so to speak, or, you know, they're at least trading blows with them like they were doing in this game last night, everybody from every other fan base, they're cheering for the underdog. Now, probably all the Gonzaga fans, they'd probably all left by the time Arkansas started because they were upset about how their game ended last night. But I'm sure you had Texas fans there that were cheering on High Point. Of course, High Point has a big contingency of people there. You got, you know, your Oregonians who are just kind of there to, you know, take in everything and there for High Point. Arkansas, they were fighting an uphill battle, it felt like, a little bit from the crowd.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you can only imagine what the Texas fans were like. And they had a good crowd there. I was kind of, you know, it made sense on Texas's first game there. I mean, the arena itself it didn't pack the same punch on Thursday because, you know, it was pretty early over here what time those games were, and Texas had just found out it was even advancing, you know, less than 48 hours before their first game over here. But Texas fans, they found their way over to Portland for that game yesterday, which by finding their way, I think it's just a massive alumni base probably.
Yeah,
they had a lot of fans here, but you – it's funny because they ended their game against Gonzaga doing the SEC chant. So there was just SEC, SEC, and not, but 40 minutes later, they were going berserk cheering for High Point. So it's like Texas, this, you know, late addition to the SEC, was owning being a part of the conference and then cheering against Arkansas right away. That arena was anti-Arkansas other than the Arkansas crowd. And I'm sure that's how most fans in front of their TV across the nation were. Yeah. I mean, High Point was a fun team to like. Whenever you have a 5'10 point guard who's dropping 30 points, that's a fun team to cheer for as a Cinderella. That team, they rocked. I'm not going to lie. Like, I really enjoyed watching them play. The way that they played, their coaching, Their defense definitely left a lot to be desired, but hey, offense makes for fun basketball, and that team can score the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like, and I felt like going into the game that Arkansas was just going to have to survive them, you know. And they talk this time of year, survive in advance. Like it's not about style points at this point. Like if you win six straight by 1 point, nobody cares. They say you were a good team down the stretch, and you made the plays when you needed to, and you still win the national championship. So style points aren't important. And then, you know, the other thing that I thought, I just thought this was going to be a tough matchup for Arkansas for a couple of reasons. Number one, High Point offensively. You see what they can do from three-point range. They put up so many shots. They put up so many shots, and they forced the issue so much from a tempo perspective. But then you got Arkansas sitting here who, you know, they got basically one player that they can rotate in off of the bench. And, you know, they looked really tired there toward the end. Like there was a play, I'm sure you saw it, late in the game. Acuff's got the ball out near midcourt. He's doubled over with the basketball on his hip, takes a, you know, a deep breath, and then, you know, he takes his guy off the bounce and goes and lays it in. It was ISO ball, it felt like, for pretty much the entire second half. But they overcame. They got a few big plays defensively. I thought Billy Richmond, for as much as people are going to want to talk about Acuff and his 36 points, and it's the most points a Razorbacks ever scored in an NCAA tournament game. Mario Credit had the record previously in 1989 against Loyola Marymount, a team that was kind of a game that was similar in that both teams really wanted to get up and down the floor in those days. Arkansas won that one 120 to 101 in Indianapolis. But as much as people are going to want to talk about Acuff and this record, and you know, he broke Todd Day's single season scoring record last night, I thought Billy Richmond and three or four defensive sequences that he had were the key to the game, or a big key to the game, maybe. I think about one where they try to throw a lob off in transition, and he gets back and he steals it. He stripped a guy on the baseline. It's 87-83. Terry Anderson just cannot get Billy Richmond off of him, tries to cross him over a couple of times near the free throw line, and then puts up a shot in the lane. Richmond blocks it. It leads to a three the other way for Acuff. And at that point, you felt like the game was over. I thought DJ Wagner, too, made a big defensive stop where he, sealed off the baseline and caused a travel by Wright, the little point guard that High Point had. You know, in a game like this, Ethan, where it's offense, 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 if you could just make – I kept telling the people I was watching the game with, like if they can just make a couple of defensive stops, that may be all they need. And that turned out to be a real big key for them there in the last 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking the whole game too. I was like, this is going to come down to which team can string together some stops. And by Arkansas stringing together stops, it really was Billy Richmond stringing together stops there for a little bit. And you just feel at that point that once you're, you know, you have a lead and you have the ball in Darius Acuff's hands, that good things are going to happen. I don't think that Arkansas, like, you can't expect it, it's weird to expect a kid to always make the right play, but it's like he always does. And even that pull-up three, whenever the ball left his hands, like, I've said this to a few people. I don't know the last Arkansas player who can take a shot that for other people, I would just be kind of telling myself, like, what are you doing? Bad shot. Any shot that leaves Darius Acuff's hands, I feel like is going in. He's earned that type of, I think, trust. Like, and honestly, that was a pretty deep shot, but it was late in the shot clock. He read the defense. Defender was kind of sagging, and he pulled up. And in the moment it left his hands, I was like, that's going in. Arkansas just needed a few stops to allow him to be able to kind of do his thing. And Billy Richmond was the guy who got it done. He was huge. Malik Ewan was huge in this game. They really got down the stretch contributions from kind of the supporting cast that allowed Darius Acuff to do what he did toward the end. It was all around. It was a thriller. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That was just a good NCAA tournament game. And I know we talked a few days ago about the story I was going to write on that I did write on Caden Miller, who played for High Point, and his parents are former Razorbacks, and his mother, Danielle, who played for the women's basketball team. That's kind of how I ended the story. She said, you know, I'm going to cheer for High Point because that's my son, but I just want it to be a good March Madness game. That's everything that March Madness should be. And I kind of, that was just going through my head toward the end of the game. I was like, we got a good March Madness game that was, exactly how I think that these type of games should be, you know, with a high point team that was hungry, played with passion, wasn't afraid of the moment, gave every Arkansas everything it wanted. And like you said, style points don't matter at this point. I'm sure nobody is looking at Duke saying, oh yeah, we're thrilled to play them because they barely beat Siena. Like, all it is this time of year is, can you win?
Yeah, matchups make such a big difference at this point in time. You know, when you're playing such a small rotation, and you know, we'll see if they get Nick Pringle back in the Sweet 16. I don't know, you know, what his status is. I was a little surprised, honestly, that he wasn't able to play yesterday, just based on, you know, some of the you know, some of the things that were reported and things that were said around the Hawaii game, where, you know, he was available but they chose not to play him, stuff like that. But when you've got this small of a bench, like, if two of your guys don't play well, you don't win. And I think that's been the big key in these two games for Arkansas, is that, you know, against Hawaii, they get contributions across the board. And even yesterday, I mean, you look at their starters. These are the stat lines for their starters: 19 for Thomas, 36 for Acuff. Brazil had 8 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Went out of the game injured for a bit, and he came back in. He hit a corner three, was a big play in the game. You mentioned Malik Ewan, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists for him. He had 4 block shots too, which I thought got overlooked a little bit. And then Billy Richmond, 15 points, 10 rebounds. He and Ewan both had double-doubles, and Richmond had 3 steals for the Razorbacks. Like, if one of those guys don't play well, I don't know that we're having this conversation about Arkansas going to the Sweet 16. Boy, I tell you, I feel like Calipari, and you know, and I know people talked about some of the struggles that a couple of his teams had in the first round toward the end of his Kentucky time, but it seems like last year and this year he's done a really good job down the stretch. And when I say down the stretch, I'm going to say maybe like the last week or two of the regular season, and then into the tournament, SEC tournament, and the NCAA. Of pushing the right buttons and really getting his players to give him their best. I mean, they easily could have been an Elite Eight team last year. We all know what happened in that game against Texas Tech. He does a good job of pushing the right buttons this time of year, it feels like.
Yeah, and this might sound weird to say right now, like nobody's thinking about this game. I thought that the regular season finale at Missouri was huge, personally.
Yeah.
That they played a game without Darius Acuff and made other guys have to win a game. Malik Ewan, has he been the same player since? No. I thought that was massive. What they did at Missouri against another NCAA tournament team to win a game without Darius Acuff, and it was a game that all those guys, like, we're talking right now, like, you have to have contributions from all of them that are available. You can't have, you know, a few no-shows. That game without Darius Acuff, they really had to have everybody do some good stuff. And it just felt like a game that I think maybe empowered Malik Thomas. And Malik Thomas doesn't need any extra empowerment. He's been great all season, but it does feel like he's been playing his best ball since then. I mean, he was named the SEC player of the week after that, or freshman of the week after that, then went crazy at the SEC tournament. And Malik Ewan's been a different player ever since. I just feel like when we talk about pushing the right buttons, it's things like that, that whenever you realize you have a double bye secured, and Cal, I think, wrestled with kind of doing the NBA's load management style, but you have a star in Darius Acuff that you don't want to, like, have re-aggravated injury. I just think that was a right button pushed. Then you talk about the SEC tournament. They played over and over teams that were hot. That's what happens in the tournament. I mean, like, people will talk right now about this path that Arkansas's had in the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, how they're getting maybe quote-unquote lucky with teams that are winning. Listen, any team this time of year that is winning, they're winning at the right time, and they're dangerous. And I think Arkansas has found that out in both the SEC and NCAA tournament. Yeah, like you mentioned, Nick Pringle, I was a little surprised to not see him back in the rotation. Kind of got told before the game that they were like, we should win this one without him. Like, we need to rest him up, and we're going to trust that we can win this one without him. And that was, I don't think that was any disrespect to High Point. I think it was more just looking out for Nick Pringle. Like, hey, we don't want to play this game and get him hurt again for if we go to the next round. So I just think that they're pushing the right buttons on how they're handling injuries, minutes. It's kind of funny because I say handling minutes. Darius Acuff ended up playing 34. which was tied for fewest among starters last night for Arkansas. And it was because in the first half, I swear he sat at the scorer's table. It couldn't have been any fewer than 3 minutes. That game was so up and down that he never got a stop to check into the game.
Well, that was the thing. That was the thing I kept noticing was that the under, you know, whatever media timeouts, like the under eight media timeout was at 6:25, or the under 12 media timeout was with 10 something. It was so frenetic that there just weren't any stops there for the, you know, the players to take a breath, and certainly for the for TBS to get their commercials in.
Yeah, no, and Darius, it was funny because, you know, initially he goes to the scorer's table and he's just kind of sitting there like you do, and you expect a few seconds and you're going to be right back on the court. At one point, it's like he just got comfortable sitting there and just like, how do I need to be able to watch this game? And I noticed Darius Acuff just kind of talking to the guys up and down the court, like shouting out, I guess, like what to do on defense, what to do on offense. It got to a point where it's like, I think Acuff forgot, this is I'm sitting here to check into the game. I'm just it was such a long amount of time he was waiting to get checked in. It was almost like, oh, I'm just sitting here watching the game. But yeah, that was a crazy frenetic pace. And Arkansas, I thought it would favor them with the athletes eventually, but it came down to who would get the most stops.
I want to go back to something you said a second ago, getting the right draw. And, you know, I think about High Point's coach and Miami of Ohio's coach, and I think another coach or two in this tournament have been, you know, very outspoken about, we can't get big teams to play us because I guess basically they're scared to, they're scared to take that loss in November or December. Like, here's the question. Here would be my rebuttal to anybody that says Arkansas got a break by playing High Point. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Like, did you watch the game? Did you see how well High Point played? Are you telling me that Wisconsin would have played Arkansas any tougher than High Point would? Maybe they would have, but like, I can't imagine that Wisconsin's going to give Arkansas a better game than High Point just gave them. Like, we got to get over this whole, well, they're power, whatever power, I guess it's power five in basketball, because you got the Big East in there with the other four conferences. But like, you got to get over that. I mean, High Point, they were 31-4 going into the game. 31-5 is what they end their season with. They'd won 15 in a row. I am convinced that High Point team, they could have played with just about anybody last night and made it a competitive game. I don't know that they would have been able to beat Michigan or Arizona, or, you know, would they have been able to stay within, you know, whatever of those teams. I don't know. But I think that almost any team in the country probably would have had a headache with that High Point team, the way they were playing last night.
Yeah, and we've watched SEC games all year, and we're familiar with all these SEC teams. Watching that High Point team up close and in person, they would have beaten just about any SEC team last night. I've watched enough of them this year. That team was like power, whatever we want to call it, four or five talented, and they were playing some inspired basketball. I genuinely think that they could have beaten just about any SEC team last night. I'm not, and that's not, you know, supposed to be disrespectful to maybe some of these others that are in the tournament. It's just more a credit to High Point, how good they were playing at the end of the day. I think that they just there was a confidence about them that I think that all Cinderellas have to have if you want to have a chance to hang around. You can't go into a game thinking that you're, you know, at a disadvantage. But like, they truly believed they were going to win is the thing, and you could sense it the whole day. So, yeah, hats off to them. They're a really good team.
So now, because they get a little bit of a break, they get 5 days until their next game. It's gonna be Thursday night in San Jose. And speaking of getting, you know, like getting some breaks in terms of opponents, I don't think they would be sad at all, Ethan, if Utah State were able to pull an upset of Arizona tonight in that game over in San Diego. I was impressed with what I saw from Utah State in that first game. They're not High Point speed, but like, you watch them, some of the sets they ran offensively toward the end of that game against Villanova, I think that there are a lot of coaches that if they're just sitting there watching that game, they're taking notes about, I really like how they just, you know, did this handoff and double high screen that set up a guy over here on the right wing. I was really impressed watching them offensively. That said, Arizona's been the best team in the country all season, in my opinion. I know Michigan's been really good too. Duke is really good. Arizona, I think they've lost twice, right? And both of them were really tough, hard-fought games to good teams. They lost at KU. They lost to somebody else the next game. That's it. That's it. This team is really good. They're really big inside. It's going to be, I think, tough for Utah State to win that game. But if Arkansas does get Arizona, boy, it's going to be really important, I feel like, number one, to have the rest, and they're going to get that. They're staying out on the West Coast, just like you are, just like pretty much everybody who's made this trip is doing, and they'll get down to San Jose in the next day or two. But, you know, so they get the rest, but I think getting Pringle back, if they have to play Arizona, is going to be a big key, because they're going to need every available big body they can get, I think, to be able to handle Arizona, who is one of the best front courts in the country.
Yeah, it would be a gift if Utah State found a way, because in Utah State, first of all, was wildly underseeded, in my opinion. Mm. I think that they were deserving of a 7.
You see that maybe sometimes with these 9 seeds. Like, I thought St. Louis, who, you know, gave Michigan what they wanted for a little while yesterday, I thought they were probably underseeded a little bit too. And again, I think that goes back to the fact that they don't play in a brand name conference.
Exactly. And it's like, it's just, you watch Utah State and you know that they have a good team. So I think that it's, you know, could they beat Arizona? Yes. But, and the reason it would be nice if they did was because I'm the same way as you. I view Arizona as the best team. Just, you know, objectively, I think they're the best team in the tournament. Mm. It's hard to find a ton of holes with Arizona. And here's the thing. You mentioned it. They've lost 2 games this year, and it happened within a 5-day span, and both of them were nail-biters. One is at Phog Allen. The other one is at home is at home against JT Toppin in Texas Tech. And it took a crazy performance from Toppin and Christian Anderson to beat them in overtime. Like, this is an Arizona team that could – a few bounces go differently, and they're undefeated right now. They're just a really good team. So, it's, you would love to catch, Arizona getting upset right before you would maybe play them, just because I think that they are, if Arkansas could advance to play Arizona and beat Arizona, you can beat anybody in the country is how I view it, basically. Because Arizona is kind of right now my standard for national championship contender.
Yeah, you look at the like if they were to get past Arizona, Utah State, then the next round you've got Purdue plays Miami today in St. Louis, and then Texas won, and so, you know, Texas could potentially be there. Somebody made this point a day or two ago, and I forget where it was. Maybe it was on our message board at Whole Hog Sports. But they were talking about how this, like, is setting up so similarly to 1990 when Arkansas made their Final Four run. I think that year they beat a 13 seed and a 12 seed. And then, you know, they beat Texas in the Elite Eight, and I think Texas was the 11 seed that year in the Elite Eight. Texas the 11 seed in the region this year. Wouldn't that be weird if history could repeat itself, if Arkansas and Texas were playing in the Elite Eight? In 1990, they played in the Elite Eight at Reunion Arena in Dallas. Crazy. Crazy environment and atmosphere. It'd be a little bit different in San Jose, but both of those teams have still got to win another game to make that a reality. But they played a good game at Bud Walton, and Arkansas played a good game against Texas at Bud Walton. I mean, and I think that they would love to have another crack at Texas in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Texas being an 11 seed, I hate that they are, like, getting technically considered a Cinderella right now. Texas does not deserve to have any sort of
– Cinderella didn't have a $400 million budget, athletics budget.
Exactly.
Okay. Texas can afford its own carriage.
It's really turned into the past 2 years kind of chalk madness. Mm-hmm. And whenever Texas is your Cinderella, I'm throwing tomatoes at the screen, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get out of here, I want to go back to Darius Acuff for a second, because you mentioned this, how, you know, you just feel like confident he's going to make the big shot. Doesn't it seem too that his offense just gets better down the stretch? Like last night, he missed a couple of free throws in the first half, didn't miss any free throws after halftime. I think his shooting in the second half was better. Now, he was getting to the rim whenever he wanted to get to the rim, it felt like. But, you know, it feels like this guy, not only is he really good, but he's not front-loading his points and then, you know, somebody else is having to kind of help carry the team down the stretch. It's more often than not, it feels like, Ethan, it's other guys are kind of helping them get settled into the game, and then it becomes Darius Acuff time. It's almost like, you know, hey, maybe you're focused on Acuff coming into the game, but now because Thomas and, you know, whoever else, Richmond, you know, because they're making plays in the first half, you're having to kind of reset and adjust defensively, and then Acuff is able to pick you apart after halftime. This is amazing what he's doing. 36 points in an NCAA tournament game. And, you know, we've mentioned this a couple of times. It used to be that, you know, freshman 30-point games at Arkansas, I think there had been 8 coming into this season, maybe 7. He's done it 6 times by himself. I think, you know, what we're watching from Darius Acuff, we know that these are the last days that we're able to watch him in a Razorback uniform. He doesn't have any more than 4 games left in a Razorback uniform before he goes off to the NBA. Like we're going to look back and talk about, you know, what he's done in the last month or two for a long, long time. Anybody who has watched him, you know, like if you weren't, let's put it this way, if you weren't alive for the 93, 94, and 94, 95 seasons, or you were too young to remember them, like, this is peak Arkansas basketball to you. People are going to talk about Darius Acuff, you know, especially younger people right now, for a long, long time, and tell people that's the greatest Razorback basketball player I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I mean, I could see myself, if I'm covering the Razorbacks, you know, 40 years from now, 50 years, like, are these records going to get broken? Like, I know John Calipari is going to bring in really good talent, so long as he's the coach here, but, you know, 50 years from now, is Darius Acuff's record standing as the, you know, the highest scoring season, the highest assist season? He's doing stuff that it's just, you have to kind of soak it in a little bit, that you're watching somebody who, it feels like you're watching a pro on a college basketball court, mm-hmm. honestly, right now. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy stuff. I thought what was really professional of him, the past 2 games, Hawaii, he did it too. NCAA tournament games are just officiated differently. Things that would be a foul 10 times out of 10 in the regular season going up for a shot, they let it go on. And I think that favors Arkansas. You want that. You don't want your guys fouling out. But it does adjust how Darius Acuff, you can see early in these games, he's been thinking that he's going to get a trip to the foul line with some of his drives at the rim, and it ends up just being a block or a miss or something. He adjusts to the officiating, and you can tell how he changes his attack. He goes up a little bit stronger. He finesses it a little bit more to get around guys. It's like he's doing pro things, adjusting to officiating in the NCAA tournament. And then he's doing pro things like going on a 7-0 run in a tie ball game late, mm-hmm. Just by being the best player on the court. He's really special. I mean, it's pretty crazy to be watching him in a Razorback uniform, to be honest. Like, he's the type of player that, honestly, I don't know, this might get backlash, but like I really do think if he was wearing a Kentucky uniform playing for Calipari, maybe the whole National Player of the Year thing would be picking up steam, mm-hmm. more, a little bit more steam. It feels like he's doing stuff that should put him right. Like, I don't know who's playing better right now. I get it, there's a bunch of good players. I don't know who's playing better right now, though. I get it, the National Player of the Year is an award that takes into account what you've done all season. But he's been pretty good all season, and he is playing his best basketball when it matters most. So, yeah, I think, to say, Darius Acuff is incredible.
I think if he can get Arkansas to the Final Four, maybe he wins National Player of the Year, because I don't think those votes are due until, like, right up, like, maybe a day or two before the Final Four. But here's the deal. If you're a Razorback fan, even if he doesn't win the Naismith Trophy or the Wooden Award, whatever you want to call the biggest award in the sport, do you care? If he gets you to the Final Four and he has you in contention to win a national championship, I don't think you do. I think it's all about, you know, he's Damian Fishback said this in Nashville last week, and we talked about it. He said, I think that Darius Acuff is about to go on a Kemba Walker-type run in the NCAA tournament. Well, through 2 games, he has done it. Can he do it for 2 more and get him to Indianapolis? We're going to see. But I think if you're Arkansas, even if Arizona's the best team in the country, you got to feel confident if that's your Sweet 16 matchup, because you know that even though Arizona's got this great roster and this great collection of players, they got Koa Pete, they got a really good team. They don't have Darius Acuff. They don't have the best player on the floor. And I think that's got to make you confident if you're a Razorback fan in every game that you take the floor the rest of the way this season that, hey, regardless of what they got on the other side, we got the best player. And that's a good feeling.
Yeah, 100%. I think you nailed it. It's every time they take the court, if nothing else, maybe you look at it and it's a terrible matchup, you know, for all these reasons. If nothing else, you have the best player on the court and you can be confident in that. And you have capable playmakers around him. Then really all it takes is a few things starting to go your way. And this team can beat anybody when they're at their best this year. When you think of some of the games that they have just bludgeoned teams, think about Vanderbilt at home. Think about, you know, a lot of that Louisville game. Whenever they are getting those type of contributions and they have the best player on the court, I think they can beat anybody. It just is a matter of, can you get those type of performances when they matter most? Because so long as you have Darius Acuff on your team, I think you're going to have a chance. This Arkansas team can score with anybody. I know there's the outlier where they got beat by, I think Cal says beat by a million at Florida. I guess those type of games can happen. But also I think the type of games can happen, like I said, where they just absolutely are clicking on all cylinders and can beat anybody.
It's going to be fun to see the Sweet 16 matchup. It's going to be Thursday night in San Jose. Hey, hope you'll go to our website, wholehogsports.com, to read everything that Ethan and Anthony Christensen have worked on in Portland. Also, Hank Layton, our photographer there, is just doing an incredible job documenting this with his camera. You can see all of that, videos, photos, everything at our website, wholehogsports.com. They're going to stay out on West Coast time, and they'll be in San Jose tomorrow, getting ready for the Sweet 16 game between the Razorbacks and either Arizona or Utah State. We'll find out tonight who Arkansas is going to play next in the NCAA tournament. Also at our website, Razorback Baseball going for a series sweep today at South Carolina. That's been an entertaining series, right? We'll have coverage from that. Bubba Carpenter will be in studio here in Fayetteville with us tomorrow to help break down the series between the Razorbacks and the Gamecocks. Hope to see you then, or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.